All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Tonight we're going to have a four-part series on these two verses. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we're going to be talking about the fear of God and keeping His commandments. Those are the two things that summarize all the things that Solomon said were vanity. And then conclusion, he said, what really matters? To fear God, keep His commandments. Today we live in a society that has no fear of God. Not in a biblical sense. It's a godless society, no respect for God, no reverence for God. And because of that, we see it manifest in the home, raising children, in the school system, in the media, in all entertainment, in all business, in every walk of life, in every affair of life. We see a lack of respect and fear of God. A few here may be old enough to remember that you could seal a deal with a handshake. Your word was your bond. If you said you would do something and you shook on it, you could count on that person doing it. Doors were unlocked. You didn't have to worry about anybody coming in and invading your home. I mean, it was a different world because there was an element of the fear of God. Today, Sunday's like any day of the week. It's not the Lord's day at all. It's people's day to entertain themselves, to go shopping, to live however they want to live, catch up on things, play softball, baseball, take their children to midget football, soccer. It's a day of entertainment, a day of leisure, a day of shopping, in some cases even a day of work. There's no fear of God when it comes to that. We have people that are in politics today that say and do the most outlandish things because there's no fear of God. Just society in general, it's not really weighing on their mind, what does God think about what I'm doing? As we think of all that's happened in our country, and for me being over 50 and over 60, and you know, you watch the world as it changes. To me, it's just, you can't hardly believe the changes that have taken place. And so we throw God out of the public school. Don't talk about God here. Don't pray here. You can't put a Christmas scene up on the town green because that might offend somebody. And so we push God out of all life. Like, we don't talk about God. We don't talk about religion. And so the mindset of the young generation today, that God is anathema. There's not only a lack of fear of God, there's a fear from God. Now, the Bible tells us there are a few cases where the fear of God is wrong. It's not the godly fear of God. As an example, in James 2:19, says, even the devils believe and tremble. So they have a fear of God, but not a reverent fear of God. In Matthew 25:25, the unprofitable servant was corrected as a wicked servant, as a lazy servant, because he took his talent and he hid it. So he was fearful of God, but not in a godly sense. And Revelation 21:8 tells us that the unbelieving, the fearful, will have their part in the lake of that burns with fire and brimstone. So there are people that have a fear in a sense, but it is not a godly, reverent fear that Solomon is speaking about. The Greek noun phobos, where we get our word phobia, can be rendered a reverential fear of God. So the fear of God should be a reverential fear, not a just a mere fear or being afraid as we think of being afraid, though we ought to be fearful of the retribution, of judgment, and the giving account of our lives, but it is a hopeful dread of displeasing Him. You find that definition in Vine's dictionary. A wholesome dread of displeasing Him. So it is a positive, productive fear. Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. The early church had the right kind of fear of God. It was a reverence for God, for the things of God, for the Word of God, for the work they were doing, their service for God. So they were concerned about holiness. They were concerned about obedience. And by the way, we talk about to fear God, obey His commandments. They go together. You cannot separate them. You cannot have the fear of God without obedience to the commands of God. And we'll talk more in another sermon about obeying His commandments. So the Scripture is full of examples. And I thought, rather than just trying to define the fear of God, maybe illustrate it by some examples in Scripture. Joseph wins his brother's trust when it says that he was a God-fearing man in Genesis 42. And so they found favor with him because he was a God-fearing man, as God elevated him in a position he had. Remember, the midwives were told, throw all the young men, the Jewish men, in the river. But that says they were God-fearing and they spared the Hebrew babies. They feared God. They had a reverence for God. They were afraid. If we do this, God is going to be angry with us. We can't do that. Wish people had that concern today about the unborn. Pharaoh did not fear God. That's very clear that he didn't fear God. And we see the end, the result. As Moses looked for leaders to guide and help in their journeys through the wilderness, the basis of his choices was that they would be God-fearing men who would not be taken with bribes. So that was important. He said, if you're going to help in making judgments over the children of Israel, then you have to be God-fearing. Now, that really should be true today, that if someone is in a judicial position, they should be God-fearing. And one of the problems with our judicial system today is there are many people who are not. In the Mosaic Law, it cites the fear of God as a reason to treat the disabled and the elderly well. In the book of Leviticus, it says if you are God-fearing, then you'll care for the elderly. And we see today, just cast them aside. Forget about them. We even talk about euthanasia. Death with dignity. How can you say that? How can you phrase it even that way? You know, in many cases, it's just murder. And so we ought to care for the elderly. You know, and I'm getting concerned. I'm getting older, and I want to make sure we get that point across. You know, care for the elderly. And that's God-fearing people would do that. And then Jesus states in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Said you should fear hell. Fear the fact that you might not be saved or right with God. There ought to be a fear of God. And even Paul says to work toward godliness, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so that's sort of the theme. When the fear of God is evident, it changes behavior. If we fear God, we're careful about what we eat, what we drink, what we wear, where we go. But when we have no fear of God, we kind of do whatever we want to do. There's no respect for authority. Just do what I want to do. So I'm going to use the example, and I preached a little bit of this message this morning in high school chapel, but we're going to use the example of Jehoshaphat. So if you'll turn with me to 2 Chronicles 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. And it's about a third of the way through your Bible. 2 Chronicles 17. Starting with verse 1. And just so as we get a running start here, we're all together. Jehoshaphat was the son of Asa, king of Judah. And there's the northern kingdom, which is Israel. They never had a good king. They were always idolatrous. So you had David as a king, his son Solomon. They had the greatest wealth and power the nation had ever known. But his son went one way and one of his leaders another way. And Israel was no longer together. They were two kingdoms. So the northern kingdom is Israel. The southern kingdom is called Judah. So in the southern kingdom, there were a few good kings. In the northern kingdom, there were no good kings. Asa was a good king, but in the end, he kind of let down his guard. So they brought back some of the idol worship and the groves and so on. And for whatever reason, Jehoshaphat, when he takes over, he's determined in his heart, we're going to change this and we're going to prove that we fear God. And so we're together now, right? 2 Chronicles 17. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel, the northern kingdom. He's the king of the southern kingdom, Judah, but he strengthened himself against the northern kingdom, Israel, which did fight against them periodically. Verse 2, and he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments. Remember, that's one of the aspects of our messages, to fear God, keep his commandments. So he walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel, the northern kingdom. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Also, in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nethaneel, and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. So here is what happened. Asa's the king. He did what Jehoshaphat did initially, tear down the groves, at least many of them, the idols, and they began to worship God. But as soon as they lacked leadership, there were people just waiting that they could go back and rebuild those groves. Soon as there was a lack of restraint, they said, I want to go back and do that. You know, it's kind of like an addiction program. You know, there are things that people are caught up in, and even though they might be clean for a while, they're just waiting. I remember we took a man who's he'd been an alcoholic all his life. In the true sense, he was a wino. And his son got saved as a member of our church back in the very early years. Well, we took his dad to a place to get dried out. And he was there 2 months. He was healthy. He looked great. He hadn't had a drop to drink in 2 months. He looked good. He was doing good. And he said, you know, I'm ready to come home. The first day he came home, he went back on the bottle and eventually drank himself to death. See, there was a lack of the fear of God. He got away. There was restraint. There was someone to watch over him. But he lacked the fear of God and drawn right back into the same thing. Well, the children of Judah were much the same. As soon as Asa let down his guard, they went right back to the Baal worship. to their false idols and their false gods. See, they lacked the fear of God. They weren't concerned, what does God think? They just said, well, they don't allow it. It's illegal. We can't do it. But they did not have that relationship with God. So here are some of the things that Jehoshaphat did. Number one, he built a strong army. He built a defense for the nation of Judah. So his father had possessed certain lands or recaptured it. And he fortified that with soldiers and built walls around them and fortified the nation. Now that was a pretty smart thing to do. He did it because he feared God. He did it because he wanted the nation to be protected from all the invasion of the world. Now you say, what's he trying to be, an isolationist? Well, he's trying to be holy and godly. And if that's what you want to call it, then so be it. But, you know, you don't want to be worldly. You don't want to be infiltrated by all the things of the world. When somebody becomes a Christian, there are certain defenses you have to put up. You just can't live the way you lived and be exposed to the same people and the same things. You cannot do the things, as the song said, I don't do the things I used to do. I don't go the places I used to go to. So there has to be a change to protect yourself from those things. I read the illustration that probably in all the preacher's illustration books, the guy years ago, in the he used to be an alcoholic, he got saved. But he kept struggling with it. And so the parson, as they called him, said, well, tell me something. He said, when you go into town, where do you tie your horse? He said, where I always do, in front of the saloon. He said, well, tie your horse somewhere else. Don't tie it in front of the saloon. And what he was getting at is, don't allow yourself to be exposed to the same things that brought you down. Build a wall of defense. In today's internet age, in today's age of drugs and so many illegal substances, you got to build a wall of defense. And there may be accountability, there may be other things, but you have to build a wall of defense. So he built a strong army. He strengthened the cities. He strengthened their walls. And it says he followed the path of King David in his early years, who was zealous for God. He reverenced God. He had a desire for God. He loved God. And so he was passionate about all that he was doing. Why? Because of the fear of God. And then he sent princes to teach the way of the Lord. So he had men that would go around and talk about what they ought to do and how they ought to do it. And he had an educational program. This is what's right. This is what's good. Unfortunately, in our country, it's just the opposite. You know, we're teaching people humanism rather than fearing God and doing what's right. And then he sent in the Levites, the priests, to teach the law. So he said, wait a minute, we're going to go back to what the Bible says. And they sent in all the Levites, and they went from town to town and from house to house. And they said, here's what the law says. They reemphasized the Word of God. So if there's a fear of God, there's always an uplifting of the Word of God. And when people are humanistic, they don't care about the Word of God. So he sent out the Levites and the priests, and they began teaching the law. And then in 2 Chronicles 19, it says they sent out godly judges. So when people came to court, when there were offenses and when there were problems, these men sought God. They were godly. One of the things that amazes me about our government and our politicians is when I go to some of the things that they're doing, some of the committee meetings, they are totally clueless and helpless. They don't know at all what God wants them to do. I mean, there is no reason in their mind. And unfortunately, so often you go to court, you have no idea what's going to happen. It's like rolling the dice. You don't know what will come up. One of the most important things of their culture was that they had godly judges. And they knew how to pray and seek God. And they reverenced God and tried to make godly decisions. And then the results of them doing so. The results were, the Bible says that God strengthened Judah. And the people brought presents to him. This is really strange, where he takes a stand. He says, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve God in the fear of God. He took a stand and people said, "Whoa, we better watch our step." And they honored him by bringing presents. to him and to the king. And it says that he became rich. He had great riches and honor. Then it was the last point. The fear of the Lord fell on even the surrounding nations around them. So they elevated God. They were fearful of God in a godly sense. And God blessed them and God honored them. And all the nations around them began talking, saying, you know what's happening in Judah? You know what King Jehoshaphat has done? There is no doubt they fear God. There is no doubt that God is blessing them. All the nations around saw it. You know, an amazing thing where people see Christians, they're living for the Lord and they're trying to serve God, and they can't figure it out. They say, I don't know what it is. I remember Dr. Value had been with us many times. His family just was bewildered. They weren't, most of them weren't saved. And they said, you're just so lucky. That was, you know, you're just so lucky that everything's worked out for you. They don't get it. No, it's a blessing of God because you're God-fearing. Just think with me for a second. Let's say that you're a young family. And you say, we're going to read the Bible and pray together or have a family altar. We're going to go to church, all the services, be in Sunday school. Our children are going to grow up. They go to the Christian school. All that we do, we're going to try and honor God. We tithe, we give to the Lord. I want to tell you something. A family like that, you're going to look back and say, how do they get so blessed? Because they fear God. They learn to do that which was right. God honors that. When we came to Connecticut, my grandfather saved $100 aside just so we'd have enough money to get back home if it didn't work out. I thought, man, we could never, never afford to buy a home. You know, how could we ever afford to buy a home? Is everything so expensive? We can never buy property. We can never have a church. We just said, but we're just going to do what God tells us to do. Amazing thing, God blesses those that fear Him. Those that choose to do that which is right. And those that choose to go their own way and do their own thing. I think there were 55 students in my high school graduating class. And I believe I'm right. There's either four or five that are dead. And love triangles, motorcycle into a train, you know, none of them from natural causes. Others have been incarcerated, in prison, divorced, lives a mess, been on drugs. Not all of them, but boy, it's a large number of them. And you think, what happened? No fear of God. No reverence for God. Remember when my shop teacher had just gotten saved, and he goes out to the shop. In a country public school setting, the shop was not the most spiritual place at the school. The guys that were losers were all there because they didn't want to be in academic class. I was one of them. But all these guys are out here, and they're doing all these dumb things. And we're learning how to weld, you know, and the guy's over here's one there, the guy's got a torch, you know, in his backside, and all this stuff's going on. And the shop teacher comes in and he said, hey, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Okay, it looked like somebody turned the lights on, the cockroaches are running back into the holes. And the guy said, oh, Passon's gone religious. Oh, man, you know. We look at all those guys. You know what? Didn't turn out so well. See, there wasn't the fear of God. But for a person, for a family that says, we're going to serve God, we love the Lord, and we fear God, you'll see the blessing of God. So the fear of God fell upon all the nations even around them. Look at verses 8 through 10, 2 Chronicles 17, 8 through 10. It says, and with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah and Nethaniah and Zebediah and Azahel and Shemiramoth and Jehonathan and Adonijah and Tobijah and Tabadonijah, Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram, priests, and they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Look at verse 10. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Now go over to chapter 19, 2 Chronicles 19. Verse 5. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 5. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set the Levites and of the priests and of the chief fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for the controversies which when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. Now, I don't know about you, but I get a sense Jehoshaphat had a love and a healthy fear of God. He had a respect and an awe for God, for the Word of God, for doing that which is right. I don't know that I could explain where it came from or why he had it and Asa, his father, lost it. I don't know if he saw examples before him and he said, hey, I'm not going to let that happen to me. I don't know why. Maybe he had a mother that taught him that. I'm not sure. But this we know. He feared God. He set an example. As a result, we saw all the blessings that go with it. Young people, don't be afraid to live for God. Determine your heart. You're going to choose a mate that also loves God and give your life to Him. Don't be afraid of the perfect will of God. That, my friend, is the fear of God in a healthy, in a godly way. Let's bow for prayer.